Geocentric, episode 20.
I'm following you.
This is combat toe-to-toe with a Ruski.
Geocentric
is developing into a very bad habit.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear?
Inconceivable!
With John Newman,
we have an obligation to fight them until they are banished from the page of time.
Not a finger!
And Nate Long.
I don't have a really good feeling about what's to come.
Help! I'm being betrayed!
Welcome to Geocentric.
Someone's in your house.
That's a newfound glory.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Geocentric.
Halloween's over.
The hostile takeover of awkward silence. I'm John.
I'm Nate.
And you have just joined in listening to the most listened to podcast.
That's right.
In all of Nate's neighborhood.
In fact, you're listening to the most listened to podcast in podcast
history.
Go ahead and let that resonate.
And now we'll tell you it's a lie.
JK smile, double backflip, wink.
Which you may be surprised.
Joel Sixpack
is exactly what we're going to be talking about today.
So, for those of you who didn't know, the election results are in from yesterday, and we can now call,
which is 2 days ago for you.
Yes, 2 days ago for you, and now we can now call Barack Obama president elect.
And I would just like to say that. Of course, whether or not you agree with his politics, this is an historic day.
Yes,
in that
absolutely.
This is the first time the United States of America has ever elected an African-American president.
That is huge news. So that's something that we can, whether you agree with his politics or not, and you know, if you don't, you can be there to criticize him for certain policies later, but that is something to definitely celebrate. That's one more huge hurdle that we've jumped over, and now we can really say that right. There are no limits. You
absolutely.
Know, an African American will now be the most powerful man in the world.
Which is very, so, very cool.
That is cool. Awesome. So congratulations, Mr. Obama. And today we're not going to talk politics.
That's right. We are not going to give you the how Obama won spiel.
Well, except we might give you a little bit.
For,
yeah.
Maybe we are.
Yeah, we kind of are.
Except.
But we're not going to. Yeah, we're not going to.
This is not one of those hindsight bias type of things. This is just a little bit of insight versus hindsight, I suppose. But before we get into it, let's talk about how you get involved. Because
good idea.
In our sicknesses last week,
I'm actually still sick. I don't have the fever anymore, so I'm in a lot more upbeat. Yeah. But I have a cough, so you guys might hear that throughout the show.
And hopefully not. Hopefully Nate will have the sense to turn away from the microphone
instead of coughing in all of your faces.
Anyways, but since we neglected to tell you how to get involved last week, this is how you do it. 206-337-1504.
What's that again?
206-337-1504. See, one of those is an O, the other one is a zero.
And what is this drug I'm taking called?
Fisherman's Friend. Why are you even having me say that?
I don't know, I just felt like endorsing, they're not a sponsor, but I endorse them. They're, you know, kind of like Hall's. You know, the cough mints.
They smell like
stuff.
A mixture between menthol and brown sugar.
Well, I actually found out that they have natural licorice in them, as well as sugar. So, and also eucalyptus oil. Basically, it's menthol, and these things are pretty cool. So, and they do smell interesting. So, if I start coughing, I'll put one of these in, and it should help out a little bit. So, Fisherman's Friend, if you want to sponsor us, do it, or I'll start coughing with one of these in my mouth. That was completely random.
Also, geocentric@inbox.com is the email, and don't forget to check us out at geocentric.podomatic.com. also at bringthemagic.com/geocentric is the official website from which you can subscribe, listen, download, even link to older episodes that Podomatic has not given us enough room to keep posted on their host server. And
I just had an idea.
Yes.
By the way, I want to say that this show is 99% unscripted today.
That is true.
Not unscripted, but you could say that we put a list together with like 10 words on it, and we're just going to discuss things off of that. But I just had a random idea
sure.
that kind of fits in the randomness okay. of this show. What would you think, because we're actually not doing Stump Cha-Cha today, because we don't feel like it, and this is a special show and everything else.
Plus, did we tie with them last time, or did we pass them last time?
We either tied, or we tied and then passed them. I don't remember.
Yes, I think we passed them.
Yeah, we passed them.
We did pass Cha-Cha.
We're kicking their trash, and I was thinking about doing this. You'll have to tell me what you think, and you guys as well. What if we put up all of the questions that we stumped Cha-Cha with on the website? Just a simple little list that said, hey guys, this is what we stumped them with. So if you guys want to show your friends that you can stump the Cha-Cha, then check out one of these questions.
Yeah, we could do that. It would take a while to sort through all the old episodes and find what the questions were.
True. You can do that.
No. No.
You can be the one to do that.
I don't think so.
Or a volunteer listening to the show could do that for us. And we can give you a prize. Like,
whatever happens to be in Nate's wallet right now.
No. No!
That would be his driver's license, his voter registration.
Fisherman's
probably.
Friend. I'll give you a fisherman's friend.
You can have a fisherman's friend. Okay, good deal. Is there anything I've left out in telling people how to get involved?
I don't believe so.
In case you missed it, 206-337-1504. Is
the other way is you could go to John's house, which is located at the following address. Everyone get your pens out. And you can knock on his door, and he likes it when you come at midnight.
I do.
And here's his address. Wow. And we edited that part out after John strangled me.
Yeah. Nate coughed a little bit, too, during that strangle to make it seem more realistic. Let's quit doing this now and
all right, fair enough.
Get into
so
what we're talking
about. So the special
about.
Today, as you guys know, the first episode of every month, we have a special show that we dedicate to one topic instead of having our five topics that we usually go with. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this month's topic?
Well, last week in our top six or top seven or whatever it was, we mentioned some tools that have changed the face of the election process in this country since 2004. So what we want to do this week is to give you guys some insight into how that worked and the role it may have played, specifically with a few different social media tools.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Also, I know that a lot of you are probably wondering just how Nate and I voted. I will tell you that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we voted differently.
Yes, we did.
Now, if you are a listener to the show, you know that that doesn't mean one of us voted McCain and the other voted Obama.
But it doesn't not mean that.
But it also doesn't not mean that. You know how we feel on voting if you are a listener to the show, and you know that we do not advocate strategic voting, which would be, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils, right?
Yeah.
So, we aren't going to tell you who we voted for.
I will say that I had a very fun time voting on the ballot, and I was proud to vote, and it was all over the place. I did more research for this election than any other time that I've voted in the past. And so I was really happy about that, and I think, you know, I can only get more educated before the next election,
right?
So,
which we also encourage everyone,
all
yes,
of you to do, yeah,
to do,
because that's what we said last week before the election. We said that Geocentric endorses voting and voting with educated backgrounds and everything
right.
else. Basically, get the facts and vote. So that's all we say.
And also, I know that Florida had about 70% voter turnout this year.
That's impressive. That's really good.
Impressive. Of course, anything under 100% is not enough.
Yeah.
However, it's very impressive compared to what we've had in the past. And we think that that's good.
Absolutely.
You know, I was noticing, on the show, we've talked a lot about political things.
Yeah.
And international events and also social topics, which are all very international affairs / anthropology oriented. But there hasn't been quite so much that's as overtly PR related.
indeed.
And you are the PR guy.
I am the PR guy.
But this show today is about 100% PR related.
That's true.
So I expect you're going to have a lot to say.
John, what John is basically saying is he has nothing prepared, so he wants me to do all the talking.
No, that's not true. I did read these stories, and I can comment. But what I am saying is this is your area of expertise, and it's going to be your chance to finally break free of my shadow. I'm just kidding. Shadow.
Your what?
My shadow. That's a joke.
You're what? So I want to actually give you a rant, actually, speaking of PR. So I was on Twitter.
Without
coughing? Probably not.
Okay. As soon as you turn away, I'll jump in with something.
Okay. So I was on Twitter. Is where I first heard about this.
Would you like to tell everybody exactly what Twitter is?
I will momentarily.
For those who don't
know. Okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about Twitter, because this is a very roundabout podcast. We just talk about things as they come up. Twitter, for those of you who don't know, the best way to describe it is it's like taking that little bar in Facebook, you know, the bar that
your
you can say what
update.
You're doing, and making an entire social network out of that. Now, like me, you're probably thinking, that's dumb.
And like me.
Like when I was first considering joining, that's how I thought of it. But the key about Twitter is not necessarily what it does, as much as how it's used.
Right.
Okay? Because the way that Twitter works is you follow people. You follow what they're saying. And your messages have to be 140 characters or less. So for PR people, that's really good, because we're our big discipline is getting our message across quickly and efficiently.
People are conditioned to short, more powerful statements. Is that correct?
That is correct. And so, unlike how we do sometimes on the podcast, and unlike how I do sometimes when I speak, when I write, it's very short and to the point.
Which is something
powerful.
I'm working on, by the way, in my own writing, because I have a tendency to really ramble when I write.
Yeah, well, and there's different styles of writing too. Some are meant to be really wordy, and
I'm talking about my blog posts, which I don't think ought to be that wordy.
Fair enough. He's hating himself right now.
I just hate.
You're beating
myself.
Yourself up, John. Just, you're beating yourself up.
Just,
that's all.
Just beating myself up.
So what's cool is you find people that you want to keep track of, that they're influencers in some way in a topic you're interested in. Say you're interested in tech updates, like Ethan out there. Ethan is on Twitter. Do you remember his screen name?
Yeah.
Is it Ethan WC?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys,
sorry
first
if you
thing,
didn't want us to
first
give that
person
out,
you guys can
kind
add.
That's kind of the point of Twitter.
It is.
Is to have everybody see
that's
it.
That's right. First person you can add on Twitter when you sign up is Ethan, who, for those of you who don't know, is our tech guy that gives us the weekly Tech Byte update.
Yep.
And
also a cartoonist.
Ethan WC is his screen name. So add him, follow him, I should say. You don't add people, you follow him. And basically what that does is it keeps track of everything he says. So that way when he goes out and says something like, I just posted this cool post about the new iPhone, and then he links to it, you can say, oh, cool. And if you like what Ethan says, you'll follow him.
Now,
or maybe
Twitter,
you want to... Go ahead.
You have basically three options, right, as far as communication. You can either post a general post that anyone can see,
mm-hmm.
or you can direct what you say at somebody, which puts their name in there so that they know this was directed at them, but still anyone can see it. Or you can actually send a direct message to a person. In which
that is correct.
Case they can only see it, right?
Yeah, the direct message is the private one. That's the one that you want to, let me give you a PR example. A PR person goes on there and, let's take at it from a journalist's point of view. A journalist wants to get somebody for an interview to talk about small businesses failing in the economic recession. So Twitter is a really good tool for him to say, hey, anybody know any experts that could maybe give me some quotes or do a, 5-minute interview with me? And then there's a PR guy that picks that up and says, hey, I know this guy from my organization that would love to do it, and it'd be good exposure for him and our organization. And so he wouldn't necessarily post all of his contact information and what time the guy needs to call and everything for the general message. He would go and do what's called a direct message, which is private and can only be seen between the two. What you were talking about is the other one is an at reply.
Right.
And basically the point of that is you're speaking at somebody, but you're doing it in the general public. Basically, one of them is like behind closed doors. The direct message is as if you went in a room together or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's good. I can either stand up on something in a public place and say, "Hey, everyone, guess what?" Or
yeah, and
I
that's
can
the first
stand up
way.
In
that's
a public place and say, "Hey, Nate, guess what?"
Exactly.
Or I can take Nate into a room and say, "Hey, Nate, guess what?"
Exactly. That sums it all up. That sums up pretty much the three ways you can talk to somebody. Now, other options you have. The thing is, Twitter, there's not much to it. It's not hard to use, but that's the beauty of it. I actually just logged into mine. By the way, my screen name is The PR Guy, all one word, so you can now add me as well.
And mine is Anthroscience.
And
if you couldn't hear me over Nate's cough, that was...
Yeah.
Anthroscience.
Thanks a lot. And the kind of people that I follow are the kind of people that I want to hear from, which are in my profession has to do with other PR people.
Right.
Has to do with the travel industry. I like talking to other musicians, DJs, and anyone who likes to talk about social media, podcasting,
and one of
and
the
blogging.
Big differences between Twitter and other social media outlets such as Facebook is that with Facebook, there's sort of this idea that when you communicate with somebody, you should already know them.
Yeah.
Whereas with Twitter, it's perfectly acceptable to start following just anyone, any
Absolutely.
Random person. You don't have
Absolutely.
To already be friends with them. You just maybe like what they said or think that they're an attractive person
yep.
and hit that follow button.
And so
and
sometimes
it.
They'll follow you back because they'll look at your profile or maybe click on your website that you've decided to show as your website. And they'll say, "Hey, I want to follow this guy too. Maybe we could have some good interactions, some good
right.
conversations." And then you find certain groups of people that begin to kind of talk with each other a lot, you know? One of the funny groups that I'm involved in that I guess you could say I don't fit into, but I do, is a group of bloggers who are travel moms. They're mom bloggers that travel and they blog about it. And those are the kind of people that, as a PR guy in my profession, I'm trying to influence those kind of people.
Right.
And they want to, you know, get information from me. And so it's in our best interest to have interactions with each other, even though I am...
Not
neither
a mom.
Mom or yeah I'm not a mom so that's
Yet.
That's one group of people that we kind of talk to.
He's
then there's
be a mom soon.
You freak. And then there's the kind of crowd of PR people that we kind of talk about different stuff with PR. Then there's like a tech crowd that kind of just talks about Twitter and all the cool tools that they have outside of Twitter that you can kind of bring into it. So there's all different kinds of conversations that are going on. And when you sign into Twitter, you see your thing that basically answers the question, "What are you doing?" And so... you know, a lot of people like to do the classic Facebook or short online diary thing of like, "I'm watching TV and this and that crap." Honestly, I'm not as much into that. I think a little bit of that is important because it shows you're human. But what I think the question should really be that you're answering, not what are you doing, but what has your attention. And that's what the key influencers on Twitter are really
right.
answering. They're what has your attention? When somebody like Robert Scoble, who is a big influencer on Twitter, says, "Hey, this has my attention. It has, you know, 10 ways that you can do such and such on Twitter, like organize a local event on Twitter," then I want to go and click on that.
So, for example, instead of saying, "I'm watching CNN,"
yeah.
you would say, "Hey, CNN just had a hologram reporter."
Mm-hmm.
And that will be much more likely to influence people as far as maybe getting them to look at CNN
yep.
or whatever than just saying you're watching it.
Exactly. So another option you have is when you're looking at all these people talking, you can either look at the people you're following or you can click the everyone button and see what literally everyone is talking about, which I used when I first joined, and that was it, because you're not following anybody yet. The other option you have is when people put their different, what they're called are tweets. Every time someone posts one of these, they tweeted. They posted a tweet. Tweet is the noun, right? And if you like what they said, because there's a lot of clever quotes, and there's a couple websites we'll have to go into sometime that like basically people write really funny things and they're the most favorited ones. But you can put a little star by that and then you can go back to your favorite messages or messages of people you want to keep in contact with. But once again, like what John was saying, one of the cool things about this is that you can just approach anybody, and as long as you're not a jerk and as long as you can get their attention, then they're willing to listen to you.
That's the whole point.
Exactly. So let me tell you about something else about Twitter, and that is search.twitter.com. Twitter used to have a search engine to where you could search all, you know, what's going on in all the tweets, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Meanwhile, there's a site called Surmise that I was really big into, and it was a really good way to see what people are really talking about. You can type in keywords, you can do things in quotes and minus, and, you know, pretty much like you would search for something in Google, but within what everybody is talking about. And yeah. Twitter, I don't know how many months ago now, still fairly recently, acquired Surmise, and that is now search.twitter.com. So if you're just starting out on Twitter, that's what you need to do first of all, is go to search.twitter.com and type in something that you want to see what people are talking about, and that's a good way to start following people.
Yeah.
Then you can click on their profile and check it out. They might follow you, and all kinds of cool stuff. So bringing that to the election, I'm actually going to bring up McCain's and Obama's Twitters. So
you're going to bring up their actual
Twitter
pages?
Let me do
this.
Yeah, while I'm actually doing this, I actually recently talked John into joining Twitter.
Yes,
what is your screen name?
My screen name is AnthroScience.
You did say that.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a brand new Twitterer, or whatever you call it. And
you're a twit. Okay. I think I just peeked out on that thing.
Probably. My experience has been pretty good. It's pretty fun. We'll see if I get into it a little bit more. And Nate,
what have you found to be your what's been kind of tough for you?
I think my personal biggest challenge with Twitter is actually zeroing in on people or groups that I really am interested in hearing what they have to say.
And by the way, it's an important thing you said groups, because as of right now, Twitter does not have groups.
They don't have actual groups, but they have discussions, basically.
Yeah. But I will say, just to interrupt you real quick, is that I heard somewhere today, I didn't read the full post, that Japan's Twitter now has groups. I don't know if that's correct or not, but, you know, something like that. So go ahead.
That makes sense. But yeah, the way a discussion works on Twitter is you put a keyword into your tweet when you post it, and then when people search that discussion, they will see everything posted that has that keyword in it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I was going to put a tweet about Twitter, for example, then I would put the number sign called a hash sign, and then I would type in Twitter. Then I would make my tweet. So my post would look like AnthroScience, and then number sign Twitter. This website is awesome. And then if somebody searches the number sign Twitter conversation, they'll see my post come up there. But other than so that part's not too hard, but
yeah. And it's an easy to use program.
Yeah, the trick is it's been difficult for me. Like, for example, Barack Obama here has currently got 119,047 followers and 123,056 people that he's following.
Yeah, that's
which,
a lot.
Which basically just means that he probably hit the reply follow anytime a new person was following him. And,
well, he's actually following more than are following him.
Yeah, and then plus some. But so the trick is, I mean, besides the, you know, big names like Barack Obama, you have to realize that everybody you're going to follow is just going to be a regular guy. So you have to find some way to zero in on certain kinds of people or whatever. And that part's been a little bit tough for me. You have a lot more followers and following than I do.
Well, and the key here, too, is kind of your voice. What happens is, even if you're talking to a small group of people, your voice kind of leaks out every so often. And someone happens, even though you're a small voice, that small voice, you just happen, once again, going to that room. You happen to be, you're not loud enough to have a voice to be standing on a stage with a microphone. You're like standing in the crowd whispering, but you happen to be next to someone who's maybe a little more of an influencer. They like what you have to say. They'll do a thing called a retweet, which is basically you put an RT before it and you put the person's name, give them credit for it. And it's kind of a thing to show that you liked what they had to say.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, if you get retweeted by someone who's a little more influential, then some of the people that follow that person
will start to follow
you. Will say, hey, he said something, you know, that's cool. So what else is he saying? And so they'll look at your feed and see what you've said in the past and say, hey, I want to follow this guy and see what he says.
I think it's kind of fun. Although I'm kind of slowly easing into it. I do think that's kind of fun.
And honestly, I slowly ease into it too. I remember I was really happy when I had my 15th follower, my 10th follower, you know, and I was like, all right.
But see, what you said is exactly what's drawing me in. And the reason that I haven't canceled my account already. Yeah. The reason I didn't cancel it after the first day was because of the difference you pointed out, where on Facebook you say, this is what I'm doing, and on Twitter you say, this is the cool thing that has my attention right now. That's what's
not to say
on.
That there aren't people who don't only say what they're doing.
Right. There's a lot of that.
You don't have to listen to those people. And what's really cool is there's a lot of tools to where you can really hone in on what you want to listen to. Now, going back to Twitter and the election, I'm going to tell you, first of all, that Barack Obama was far superior to John McCain in terms of new media. Okay, once again, we're not talking politics. I don't care which way you lean.
Define new media for us.
By new media, for the intents and purposes of this podcast, I mean
good. You hear how he's got his phrases locked down as a PR guy. None of that intensive purposes crap. It's intents and purposes.
Well, I write better than I speak, but
Nate's always correcting me when I say one of those like cliched phrases, but I get it wrong.
Yeah, like, and then I turn around and say, "Oh, what y'all doing?"
Last week when I said daylight savings, and no, actually, it's daylight saving time.
And then I dinged my tea glass to the screen
as he had his pinky out and took his sip of tea.
So, for the intents and purposes of this show, we're going to say, because we mentioned that it was post-2004. We're talking about since the last election. Now, let me give you a gist of new media overall means not traditional media. Traditional media are things that, for example, cable news, broadcast news, radio
newspapers.
They're the things that have been around forever. Those are the types of media we're talking about with traditional. And the key difference between traditional and new media isn't just the fact that one is online. One set of media aren't online and the other set are online. But the key
Notice that again, media is plural.
But the key here is that is the way that you pitch those media, okay? Because in the past, if a journalist didn't want to report on it, then you're screwed. You call up a journalist and say, "Hey, I just had the cure for cancer," and if he didn't want to report it, he didn't have to.
No one would ever know.
Now, given it's in his best interest to be the first to report it, so he'll probably take that story and run with it if he can verify that. But with today's media, things happen a lot quicker. And if a journalist doesn't want to pick up the exclusive interview, then any old person on a blog can pick it up. We can pick it up and put it on our podcast. If there's someone that went to the New York Times and said, "Hey, I got this cool new invention," the New York Times is like, "Eh, we have better stuff to do." Then they can come to us and be like, "Hey, you guys want to do it?" And we'll say, "Hey, sure." And then next thing you know, a couple blogs listen to this podcast and they write about
it.
Then
it ends up on Dig.
And then digs, and you know, that's a possible scenario, which is not possible in traditional media. Now, we're talking about since 2004, which actually the influence of the new media have been most effective since 2004. Some of these media existed before 2004 or around that time, but didn't play nearly the role that they played this time around. And Twitter is a big one, because Twitter was there during all the debates. Everybody was tweeting about what they thought about what Obama or McCain said about such and such an issue. And, "Oh, he just said that." You know, some person said, "Oh, he's already looking tired. It must be past his bedtime for McCain." Another person said, "I don't believe him about what he's saying about taxes," for Obama. And you just get everything. And the cool thing about it is it's in real time.
Right.
Twitter is the most real-time tool out there right now, even more so than a blog, because even a blog is real quick. As long as it takes you to write something up and hit that publish button.
The one thing that I do have an issue with, I don't know if you have the same problem on your computer, but when I'm following a conversation, it updates super quick in real time. But on my own homepage, where I just follow certain people and stuff, mm-hmm. I always have to hit the refresh button. And yes, if I don't hit refresh, it won't update.
That is a good point, because I would actually also like to be able for... And in fact, if you go to the... Twitter has a special election site that they put up for mm-hmm. this year's election. And the Twitter results that comes up with are real time.
Right.
And it pushes it down, which is really weird. But search.twitter.com, what they'll do might even be the most effective way. Depending. I don't know. It's all a user-friendly thing, and they should have options. But I really like the way that the search page does it, the way that Surmise does it.
Right.
And that is that you search for something, and it gives you all the results, you know, with the newest on top, and, you know, it goes older and older. And then what it'll say is each time there's a new one, it'll put it in a little parentheses up there saying that there's 3 results since you searched for this. Would you like to refresh? Yeah. Yes or no?
I like that.
And then, you know,
too.
Some things, you don't have to refresh just to see if something's there. But at the same time, if you want to hold up a second and read a couple tweets, you know, maybe you want to analyze this or copy a link, it's not going to push it down so far. And then you're like, oh crap, I got to go to the next page. And then it keeps going down. You're like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I actually prefer the search.twitter.com the best way. But on the homepage, John's right, you have to hit refresh every time. So maybe that's an issue they could fix. And believe you me, Twitter has tons of issues they need to fix. One of them including how frequently they go down because of, quote, too many tweets. So, and also to find people, their search tool for finding people, which is not a Surmise thing, is also... been acting up way too much lately. And so Twitter definitely has its problems. And honestly, if they don't get their act together, someone's going to make another Twitter just like it. And everyone's going to say, hey, this one's better. Let's switch over.
Yeah.
But as long as Twitter is making the right kind of updates, and if they can keep their product well, then they're going to be on top. And it's kind of one of those things that at any time, Twitter could completely fall over and no one would care about it anymore. But at the moment, I think for the most part, it's very much underestimated and it's under talked about. It's not overestimated. It's not, you know, a lot of people I hear are saying, oh, Twitter, it's, you know, people talk about it like it's more than it really is. It's not.
Yeah. You know, I think there is there. It could be debatable as far as how much of the continuum is how much Twitter influences something versus how much Twitter just reflects something. Mm-hmm. For example, with this election in particular, you know that Barack Obama won already, in case you're wondering, by the 4th.
And if you didn't know that, you're an idiot. Stop listening to
this show.
By
November 4th, Barack Obama's Twitter account had 118,107 followers, whereas John McCain's account had 4,942.
Yeah, let me actually give you the current count, just so you guys can see how much more ahead of the game
I said it a second ago, but
Obama's
say it again.
Team was compared
again,
to John McCain.
Okay,
let's start with John McCain.
Yeah.
This is current numbers, and then we can actually go through the trends here. But here's John McCain's official Twitter. He has 2,208 followers.
Okay, check this out. This article says on November 4th he had 4,942, which would mean if both of these are true, he's lost half of his followers since he lost the election.
Well, I think a lot of people will stop following both campaigns because they just want to keep up with
which
election.
Which is true. However, notice Barack Obama's numbers jumped since the
that
election.
Is very
and
interesting.
The funny thing is, between November 3rd and November 4th, he gained 2,865 new followers. Which is half of the total that John McCain had on November 4th.
This might not be his official one. Now, let me say another thing. There's a lot of fake Obama and McCain pages out there, too. I'm not sure if this one is actually the official McCain one, because it says one of the last posts was one more liberal media type slobbering all over Barack Obama.
No,
that's
no,
not the official one, so
it.
I'm not giving you the right numbers, but that happened to be the one that came up first on Google.
I knew that seemed weird.
So... Let me put it this way. He has that many followers, and on Google, he comes up before the real one. So,
which tells you something
Which
in
tells
itself.
You that maybe the real John McCain one is even less influential. Maybe, could you Google and see if you can find the real one?
I will.
And it's really easy to find someone on Twitter through Google. You just type in Twitter and their name. So we're going to do John McCain Twitter. Now, while he's looking up that... That's the one I did. Maybe it's this one. It's got to be this one right here.
It's probably this one, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and bring that up. Let's see what kind of numbers we get for this. Hey there, John McCain is using Twitter. Okay, this is the real
one. This one looks more, yeah, because this one reflects the numbers that I just told you.
Yep. Okay, here are the real numbers here. John McCain has 4,922 followers.
And so on the 4th, he had 4,942, so he's lost about 20.
Okay, so that's a pretty big number. That's a lot more than I have, you know, and that means he has a lot of people listening to him. That sounds like a big number until you hear Barack Obama's numbers, okay? This is how many followers he has. Now, again, we're talking about close to 5,000 for John McCain, mm-hmm. right? Barack Obama, 119,047.
Which means John McCain has less than 5% of what Barack Obama has. As far as followers.
Yeah, which
Twitter.
That is huge.
So as I said, you could debate how much that is a reflection of real life and how much that is an influencer of the election.
Mm-hmm.
In our personal opinion, we think it's at least a little of both.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If nothing else, there are 119,047 people that hear every message that comes through on there. So
right.
That in and of itself is pretty cool. Now, with Twitter, you can set it up to where you get any messages. You can set it to where any direct messages come to your cell phone, or you can set certain people, whenever they speak, they come to your cell phone. So if you really wanted to hear updates from in either of the campaigns, you could set to send it every time they send an update to your cell phone.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been doing that this election because you can get these updates while you're driving home, you know, and when you're not able to watch the news. So
for iPhone users and iPod Touch users specifically, there's a free app called Twitterific. You
uh-huh.
can download.
Yeah, that's
which,
a big one.
Is going to do the same thing. So it works, I assume, if you're on your iPhone, you know, across your 3G network and everything. On the iPod Touch, it'll work in Wi-Fi zones. So,
and that's a really cool. I've heard that's a cool application.
Yeah,
I just put it on my
iPod Touch earlier today, and when I'm in a Wi-Fi area, it works just as well as going right onto the website. So.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
So before we even do, I could talk about Twitter forever, and maybe one of the shows I can bring you all my favorite tools that I've used with Twitter.
Right.
There's tools that you can find out who has stopped following you. There's tools that will send you a text message or an email every time a certain keyword is in a tweet. One more thing I want to talk about, though, is how Twitter is used to bring certain topics together, and that one of the big things is the hashtag, which is basically the number sign.
Yeah.
And when you put a hashtag in front of something, it basically
it puts it in a group with anything else with the same hashtag.
And so
keyword.
Someone can go to that hashtag and see what everybody's saying about it. Now this is really cool because the new media techie types, they'll have these conferences where, you know, they'll have keynote speakers and all this, and well, they have had ones actually entirely on Twitter,
yeah.
But what they'll do is they'll have people talking about that event, but since it's not something necessarily for the general, it's one of those things that you're talking about on a stage, but not in a closed room either. And so you put the hashtag in front of it, and everyone who wants to hear what's going on at this conference, for example, a big example was when Apple recently had their conference that they talked about the new MacBook and everything.
Right.
There were tech bloggers on Twitter putting up their hashtags, and they would do hashtag Apple conference whatever, you know? And they would say, here it comes Steve to the podium now, and Steve just said that, you know, the touch thing is going to be much bigger and made of glass. And then, you know, another person will do hashtag Apple conference. Steve is looking a lot like Dr. Evil right now. He just made a joke about Microsoft and showed us some cool new ad.
Another cool one was when Google had their conference about releasing the G1 phone with T-Mobile. And this was before I was on Twitter, and I was trying to follow a blog that was as close to real time as it could have been. But I was thinking that would have been the perfect time for me to have been on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Because I would have, you know, while the rest of the world is going, oh, you know, I heard that something about Google maybe doing a phone with, but Something about the word Android, like, I don't really know. And then I could have been, you know, receiving updates every 5 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
and instead you could have been
Google
following.
Google says this. They just showed me the phone. Oh, wow, that phone is ugly. And I would have known the phone
you
was ugly
before
you found
out it was
ugly.
You could see all the user people, and then
you'd
also be following TechCrunch.
Right.
Right? And you know that TechCrunch is a credible source. So you know if they say something that you can, you know, maybe trust that. And then you can spread the word. And that's what's so cool is that Twitter, everything just happens so quickly. So the best thing I can say about Twitter is try it out. It is difficult at first. And when I first joined it, it was slow. And I didn't use it for like a month. And then I got into it. And once I got into it, it was good. And it's an active process. It's just, you know, actively engaging in certain conversations. Yeah. So I could talk about Twitter forever. We could. And we could. Next time, by the next show, John will probably have all kinds of cool stories with his experiences. We actually have some more tools to talk about. We're not going to talk about them nearly as much since we are already well into the show.
Yeah.
Try out Twitter. And when you do, please call us, email us, or comment, whatever you want to do. But tell us what your screen name is and
so
follow
we can
us.
Follow you
and when
follow
you follow
us,
send us an @ reply saying, hey, you know, I'm a geocentric listener. Follow me back or something, you know. And
we will.
And we will. Well, you know, we'll hear what you have to say because we love our listeners.
Maybe we should. Nah. I was going to say maybe we should set up a geocentric Twitter, but then I thought, nah.
Well, I think we should eventually. But maybe once we get more contributors to the blog, that we can have more.
By the way, did you hear that? We are going to start looking for more contributors to our blog so that we
can
have
posts
more often.
This is just a random idea that's kind of out there. But
so if you think that you have a blog or some ideas for posts, let us know and we'll chat.
That's right, because we're all about getting everyone's voices out there and we'd love to have some more voices. So that's the biggest one we want to talk about. The debates were Twittered. Opinions were Twittered. I think it's a big influencing tool. So,
I agree.
Moving on.
Do you want to go ahead and break this up since we're so well into the show now with
our
weekly fail?
Yes, weekly fail.
Okay.
Weekly fail.
We're going to do it. This one comes to us, we think, from... Well, obviously, we found it from the Fail blog, which we told you about last time. Failblog.org.
Check it out. Subscribe.
To read all kinds of things, to see videos and pictures and posts of people just... As the guy commenting on the Guitar Hero or the Guitar Pedal story said, "You suck at life."
That was the best quote I've ever read.
People sucking at life. So this one from Failblog, we think was taken from the forums of World of Warcraft, although it doesn't say specifically.
It just has some cartoony.
It looks like we have
maybe.
Some kind of maybe troll or dwarf looking guy, and his name is Zanzan XANXAN. And his post is entitled "WTF is PDT?" question mark. And this is what he says. He says, "I'm in California. What time will the servers come up for me? All Blizzard is saying is 2 PDT and that means nothing." Okay? "Is it the same as 2 p.m.? I see some people saying the servers won't come up until 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Why the heck would Blizzard turn on the servers at different times? IMHO, Blizz just has no idea what they're doing."
Fail! All right, in case it was easier to read than it was to listen to, let's break down that again. They're saying, what the crap, it basically is 2 PDT. To me, that means nothing. Is that the same as 2 p.m.? And that's funny in and of itself. That's a fail. Except for when he goes on to say, "I see some people are saying the servers won't come up until 5 p.m. on the East Coast." You're like, you idiot.
So if anybody out there is also failing, along with Zanzan as you listen to this, 2 PDT means 2 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, the time in California. Also, if it was 2 o'clock in California, guess what time it would be on the East Coast? East Coast.
5?
Yes, 5 o'clock.
It might be 3 hours different.
Yeah,
so
5 o'clock Eastern time.
So why would they turn on servers at different times? Why would they turn it on at 2 o'clock in California and 5 o'clock in
Florida?
Answer,
they wouldn't. That doesn't even make sense. How can you turn on one server at one time for one area and a different time for another area?
But they did. It's 2 p.m. in California and 5 p.m. in Florida. Fail. So we're going to give you some more of those.
Good job, Zanzan.
Check out the fail. You can see failed pictures and all kinds
and
of fun
videos
stuff.
And posts.
Yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff on there.
You can even sort by G-rated ones.
So, quick question, by the way. We're talking about breaking up stuff. Do we have something from Ethan today?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, cool.
We have a tech.
Thanks, bike. Ethan. You guys should follow him.
Do you want to play it now?
Let's talk about. Yeah, actually, let's play it now.
Okay, we're gonna go ahead then. And Ethan, why don't you go ahead and give us that tech bite?
Thank you, guys. This is Ethan Clark's tech bite of the week. Verizon and Altel have officially become one by the FCC standards. The FCC has approved Verizon's acquisition of Altel, and we should start to see Altel's commercials being yanked about December. The BlackBerry Bold on AT&T has arrived this week. It'll put you out about $300 to $350 unless you get it from Walmart.com. If you get it from Walmart.com, you can get it for free, but you have to have a data plan and a voice plan of 1,350 minutes every month for at least 4 months before you get your mail-in rebate of the price you paid for the phone. The BlackBerry Storm still does not have an official street date in the U.S., but Vodafone over in Europe has already received the unit, and it looks beautiful. This has been Ethan Clark's Tech Bite of the Week.
Thanks, Ethan. We're just laughing at your choice of words. Good job, though.
that was a good
Ethan
tech
WC.
Bite, as always.
Follow him. By the way, let's give his blog a shout out. We haven't done that in a while.
That's right.
He has a cool blog.
It's ethanfaces.blogspot.com. One cartoon face per day of the year, although not necessarily one coming out every day, but 365 drawings in a year.
Kid's got talent.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Straight up.
Really versatile. Yeah. So check out his blog. Again, that's ethanfaces.blogspot.com.
Isn't he might make a Our Faces? For the show.
Yeah, you know, he did say something about that one time. I don't think he's drawn anything yet.
He hasn't done that yet?
No, he hasn't done that yet.
All right, Ethan, that's a call out.
Now that we've finished calling out Ethan, we think that we ought to move ahead to... Nate's getting some Twitters over here on his phone. He needs to turn that off.
I forgot to silence that.
We're
going to
go ahead and move on to our next social media tool. And I believe, according to our list, we're going to talk about Dig. And we're not going to spend nearly as much time on these as we spent on Twitter, because we think that Twitter is cool.
We do.
And we've already talked a little bit about some of these others, too. And we haven't really talked about Twitter. So Dig, the basic premise is anybody can have a Dig account, provided you don't get blocked out for breaking their terms of use, which is another story in and of itself. But you sign up for a Dig account and you submit anything. You submit a podcast, you submit a story, you submit a blog post, you submit a news article, you submit a picture, you submit a video. And if people like it, they hit the little button that says Dig. And the more people hit it, the more popular it gets, the more people will see it, because it comes up to the front page of the website if it gets... If it reaches a certain threshold of digs, and at that point, Google Reader will start to pick it up if you're subscribing. And
you can go to their homepage and see
lots more people will see them.
Top stories. And it's interesting. What I like about Dig is it's like what's important. Once again, it's almost like sidestepping the mainstream media and the traditional media, because usually it was them that decided what was important, and we just had to buy it. And you know, maybe it was important, maybe it really wasn't.
So Dig has like a bright side and a dark side, in my opinion. The bright side is that the users say what they like. Well, and not only that,
not necessarily what's important, but what they like.
I've seen stories come out on Dig that I didn't see come out in the mainstream media for 3 or 4 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So Dig will get stories a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. What you have to watch out for, though, is things are dug on an opinion basis, not on a veracity basis necessarily. So the dark side of Dig is you have to be careful, because a lot of the descriptions that you'll see for a certain story, or a lot of the stories you're going to link to, are going to either be factually incorrect or just really spun and opinion-based, and if that's not what you're looking for, then Dig maybe isn't the place for you. But if you like to hear different ideas, Dig is the place for you. And if you can sort through what's fact and fiction, and obviously, I'm not even saying the majority of stories are like that on Dig.
No,
but
majority aren't. Yeah.
You will see many, because crazy people dig crazy things, right?
That's right. Another thing about Dig is that, again, it's another social thing. So if you're one of those people that just can't stand to hear something a certain way, if you only want to hear liberal biased opinion or conservative biased opinion, you can find someone that has dug a certain number of liberal or conservative blog posts, videos, etc., etc., and then you can see what they dig.
Right.
And then you know that anything they dig is probably going to be, you know, biased in whatever way, if that's what you're into. So the cool thing about a lot of this online media, a lot of these online media, is that you can kind of pick and choose. You can be really open, and you can hear a lot more viewpoints than you can through mainstream media. But on the other hand, you can also be extremely narrow-minded and tunnel vision. So there's upsides and downsides to everything. So I think between the two of us, you're probably the bigger dig user, I'd probably say.
I may be.
I'm still looking for a really easy way to dig things. And I found a couple tools that I like. One of them that I'll go ahead and shout out to you guys is called Shareaholic. It's a Firefox add-on. Now, Dig, we just happened to mention because it's one of the bigger ones and it's affected the election a lot. But there's also other social bookmarking type tools that are online social bookmarking, which is where you share your bookmarks online with other people. Another big one is Delicious. There's Magnolia. There's a lot of them like that. Yeah. There's Reddit, Newsvine. There's also a really cool site if you guys are ever bored on the internet, which I never am anymore because ever since I got Google Reader, there's
too much
time.
Cool stuff.
But StumbleUpon is a cool site that if you really want to just see something completely random, you think you've seen it all, StumbleUpon takes you to a random site, and you know, you might like it, you might not, and you can continue to do it. But anything that you go to, you can stumble it, which means it sends it, it submits it to StumbleUpon, and someone might just stumble upon it. So there's all kinds of good stuff like that. So can we go ahead and go on to the next one then?
We can.
The next one is YouTube. Now, I'm pretty sure YouTube was already around.
Yes.
During last election.
It was.
Before that, because I remember it. But YouTube didn't play quite a significant a role as it did this election. And I think that what we're looking at is the ability to play video over and over and over and over again. And it helped and hurt both candidates.
Well, because the idea behind that is you can release an advertisement for free.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So it has good and bad for both sides. Once again, I mean, it's not just about...
Actually, YouTube was created in 2005. Which
really?
Means it wasn't even created...
Wow, before, it seems like it was around like 2003.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that
2005
new.
By three former
Isn't
PayPal
that something?
Employees.
Oh, really? And by the way, there are now many alternatives to YouTube that many say are better, but that's for another show. YouTube is also recently was it acquired by Google, or is it just in a partnership? I don't know. But it's with Google.
Right.
And there's all kinds of neat things you can do on there, and they're making it more versatile and better and everything else. Once again, the visuals would be
Nate's
great.
Over here shaking his belly like Santa Claus.
As I talk about YouTube, because YouTube has become the big belly of online video. So here's the key, though. YouTube isn't just for the campaigns to put out their message. To be honest, I probably saw one, maybe two official campaign ads from each side. Now, most of what I saw was user-generated stuff that people recorded some certain thing and said, hey, look at this, and there's a lot of opinion on it. Let me give you an example of just the two things that maybe come to my mind really quick about maybe hurtful things for each candidate. The first one being the famous clip where John McCain says how you know, the fundamentals of our economy are strong, and then they play it back-to-back with, you know, maybe I was wrong, and they can play that back-to-back with, I guess my weak spot is the economy.
If you remember a few shows ago when we played repeatedly those
that was a while ago, yeah.
From Obama and McCain, where McCain said, I don't have that kind of expertise. And then Barack Obama would say, I don't want them punished with a baby.
With a baby. There's a perfect example.
We recorded those right off YouTube.
Another one on Obama's side, besides just quotes from the candidates themselves, was obviously Jeremiah Wright.
Right.
And as soon as that video got up there, that was all over the place, and anyone could play that, and they could embed it, and it was hugely talked about on both sides. And, you know, there's the argument about whether that mattered or not, and either way, that was a video that was watched or listened to quite a bit and talked about quite a bit, and we never would have heard what some of the general public would have said if it was just mainstream media. And it was good to see a bunch of opinion and all sides, and you know, and then on the other hand, there's different things that helped both candidates. For example, you could have a working mother saying how she has hope in the Obama campaign, or you have a Iraq veteran saying that he believes that the work that he has done is not in vain, and that the war is winning, and that that campaign, you know, that vote for McCain because he'll stay in the war and win it. Okay, so you have both sides with positives and negatives. Nonetheless, YouTube has been a huge tool. There was even an official YouTube debate, so that tells you the impact that YouTube has. The other cool thing about YouTube is it gives people a voice to just, all you need is a little webcam or a digital camera. All you have to do is push record and you can speak your opinion. And next thing you know, you're broadcast. You might not have the biggest audience in the world that you might want, but you don't, once again, you don't need to go through rules and terms and if the journalist likes you, you know, to get on the news. All you have to do is hit the record button and you can say whatever you want, even if it's ridiculous to some people. You can just go on a complete rant about some political thing.
There have actually been some cases where people have been arrested because of YouTube videos. One in particular,
that is true.
A guy was arrested for abuse of old people because he was making a rap video and he made his senile old grandmother wear a ski mask and wave a handgun around and you know, sing some rap lyrics or something. And then when the police showed the old lady the video that had been made of her, she, you know, I mean, she was really old and she's not all the way there.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, they're making me look like an evil person, like a gangster. And she, at the time, you know, had no idea what was going on because of her mental problems from being so old. And so that guy was arrested for abuse of the elderly. So although YouTube is a huge avenue for free speech, if you record yourself doing something illegal,
there seems like there's like two or three stories that happened in a row where there's like some girls that like beat up on some other girls and they actually watched the YouTube video to see who was there. And it's interesting because you're seeing crimes being solved with MySpace now and Facebook and like, oh, their MySpace, you know, account had this guy all of a sudden contact her a million times right before she went missing.
Yeah. And
let's see who this guy is. So it's interesting. As we've always said, there's a good side and a bad side whenever a new technology comes out. The good side is you can relay information back and forth quickly and efficiently. People can get published that wouldn't otherwise get published. The bad side is that obviously you're going to have, MySpace is a good example. You're going to have these old guys and they're trying to get together with very young girls and nasty things like that. And it's become almost like MySpace for some has become a way to find, to do bad things. And so there's a good side and a bad side to everything. But once again, what we're talking about kind of more this show is how much of an impact it had on the election, which is huge. And you can also say there's good things and bad things said about that.
Yeah.
So the next one we want to talk about is actually news through blogs. Now, the one that we mentioned in particular is
that
the Huffington Post.
Time. Yeah.
Now, this is one that is very much biased. It's very liberal biased. However, it doesn't try and keep that a secret.
Right.
Whereas
that's kind of the mainstream media.
The
point of the Huffington Post.
Yeah. And by the way, when it comes to the mainstream media, if you say X whatever
station.
Network, X station is not biased, you're kidding yourself. And I'm sure that you're probably saying that about whatever one is biased toward your political party.
Yeah.
Just realize that they are biased and get over it. The thing that I have a problem with the mainstream media happens when they claim not to be biased, which is what all of them do. And I'll call them out right here. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. Who am I missing?
You're missing NPR.
NPR.
And, let's see who else.
CNBC.
CBS.
all the major networks out there are biased. I don't care what anybody says. And what I have a problem with is when they try and pretend like they're not, that what their opinionated side of things are the facts. And they and there are biases that go both ways. Is that the plural, biases?
I don't know.
Anyways, it goes both ways. So once again, I'm sure you're out there thinking that
my biggest problem
yours.
Is that at least I understand that they're going to be biased.
Yeah.
You know, and you can guess once you've listened to a couple of stories which way they lean.
Yep.
And
that's true.
I can sort through the bias pretty well.
Yeah.
But what really bothers me is when they deliberately mislead. Which I called
and we've
CNN
called
out
people,
for
yeah,
one time,
we've called
or
people out.
When they get the facts wrong or do something incredibly ignorant, like I called Fox out for
simply
doing.
For sensationalism. That was right. The Fox case was just a dumb sensationalistic story. In CNN, it was actual deception.
Yeah, it was a deliberate attempt to form the public's opinion politically about President Bush using misinformation.
Yeah, and once again, whether you agree with President Bush or not,
that's not
we're
going
to call. Yeah, that's not the point. We're trying
point.
To. Anyways, going back to the Huffington Post, they don't try and hide that they're liberally biased. And the other one that was around last election, probably the first blog
to play
to
a role.
Really play a role and to get big
it's
is
Drudge
the
Report.
Drudge Retort. Yeah,
report.
Is it report? Yeah. And I don't know why I say it like that. I think it's because that's what the feed says. Anyways, and that's a very much conservatively leaning one. But
I think
once again,
there is another website called the Drudge Retort, which I think is sort of in opposition to the
Oh,
Drudge
you're
Report.
Right. Okay, that's why I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
So the Drudge Report is the big one
in 2004.
And that was one that played a pretty big role, did it not?
It did. Quite so. And I will look up the specs on that so we can give it to you while Nate talks a little bit more about that.
You're right. The retort is the one that's going against that. So.
Yeah, that's
and
why it's a retort.
And there'll probably soon be one for the Huffington Post as well. Anyways, they're biased, but the cool thing about the internet, too, is you can fact check. That's what a lot of these blogs are there for, is they keep each other in line, and they keep the mainstream media in line. Right?
Correct.
So, moving on.
Here are some notable stories from the Drudge Report. The Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Oh,
so
man.
They've been around that long. You've got the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth story. For those of you who remember that, there was a controversial Obama photo. That one in particular was the one of him in Somali tribal dress that some of you may remember. So the Drudge Report has been covering stuff and breaking news
pretty
about
long.
Things
this
since,
is
before
according
this
to
election.
Wikipedia it launched in 1994, so this is
and
one of the earlier.
If you go to Drudge Report, it doesn't look
there.
Like it has visually advanced much further past 1994. I remember the first time I went to the Drudge Report, I was like, this can't be what everybody's talking about. Surely, surely it can't
it's
be.
It's definitely a content side, not it's definitely for content, not for visuals. Indeed. So the next one that we are going to kind of talk about is web mashups and apps. And basically what that comes down to, we mentioned probably 20 or more different tools, ways that you can be more part of the election and get informed, ways, sites that put the two candidates' positions back to back, side to side, and will give you the facts, you know? And then there's other sites that you could see which districts were donating where and where the money was going here. There's another site that we showed you where you could see the big advocates on each side of an issue. For example, we talked about gay rights or gun control. We talked about, remember the site? What was that site called? That was pretty cool. Basically, you take two big groups that represent
that.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about, and now I can't remember
like
which
website
it was.
You had like guns kill people versus the NRA. You know, and each side would be able to kind of like give their side. Anyways, we've given you lots of tools, and another one recently was the Glass Booth, where you could
which is
answer
still
some
probably
questions.
My favorite politically based website that
really
we've
is that your
about.
Favorite of them? Yeah,
because I found Glass Booth to be more accurate as far as helping me understand where I sided with each candidate.
Yeah.
More than any other website ever has been, and where I
that
fall
was.
Politically
I really like that one too. I don't know if I could choose a favorite. That was a really good one, though. It's definitely on the top of the list. By the way, another one of these tools is actually called PolyTweet, which is actually a tool just for Twitter, and it takes side by side tweets about John McCain next to tweets about Barack Obama, and that was an interesting tool to watch during the election and see what people were saying on both sides. And obviously, that was just with the keyword in there, so it wasn't necessarily the sides against each other, because some of it was bad stuff on either side.
Right.
Now there's a lot of, you have all these web apps. Another cool one that, I know CNN had, I was looking, and I put this on Twitter, that I was looking for a site, during the election that I could cover, that I could find, state by state election results. And it was ridiculously hard. I was amazed at how hard it was to keep track of what was going on in Florida and how those races were going, in particular, not just the presidential race, but, some of the different amendments that we had on there, some of the local races that we had on there. And it was incredibly hard to find. And I found one that was kind of cool. I didn't really like it that much, but it was honestly the best that I found that night with my limited amount of time. And I believe it was called Your Races or something.
Yeah.
And you could customize
I used it a little bit. It let you... It lets you look at the current standing of a total of 35 different races at a time.
Yeah.
And the problem with it was that it wouldn't update in real time. You had to go back and redo it, everything that you wanted. So I used it to not keep track of the presidential election. I did that on my own with the states and, how I was adding them up together. And
you can get the presidential stuff on TV pretty good,
and
too.
And I called it for myself way before any of the media networks called it. And the only reason they didn't call it earlier was because they wanted to drag it out for ratings and keep their viewers. But honestly, that race could have been called for Obama a lot earlier than it was if you had done the math yourself. But I also used it. I was interested to see if Al Franken would win a Senate seat. So I followed that one. And, of course, a couple different ones in Florida here. Another controversial one for a lot of people, so I was interested in it, was Jack Murtha was the incumbent up for re-election. So
John Murtha?
Well, his nickname is Jack. Had you not heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
but
I've ever been heard.
Oh, that's
I don't think
weird.
I've ever heard
I've heard,
him called Jack
I've heard
Murtha.
That a lot. But, yeah, John
the same
Murtha's
guy
the
then?
Guy.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I used it to follow a couple different smaller races in different areas all at the same time. So it was okay. Like
it was okay, but once again, it'd be cool.
I never would have known about it if Nate hadn't tweeted it.
Yeah, and I was keeping track of a lot of the stuff on Twitter, but there wasn't really a person that could follow that. And that's, I guess you could say, one of the shortfalls of Twitter is that I realized that no matter how quick media got around, this was something that only a limited amount of people had access to, this knowledge, right? Because these were people turning in, these were precincts reporting. It's not like, I guess someone could have tweeted it while they were reporting their precinct. I don't know if that would have been appreciated by their supervisor.
There's certainly no laws against Twitter yet.
And I do know that locally, I was going through the stations. I didn't realize this either, but Preston Scott, who's a local guy here, a talk show guy, he was actually giving local updates,
right,
which I thought
I
was
know
pretty
about
cool.
That.
And but I wish that there was someone online that could just get this stuff out live time that could have tweeted. Maybe I just didn't find that. Honestly, I was going to a lot of different places.
Maybe that is something that we
time.
Could do at some point in the future.
That would be really cool
because
I would have loved
stuff.
That resource, because you can find what's going on the presidential stuff anywhere. I put it on the dumb screen. That's what the mainstream media can actually report to me.
Right.
So I'll keep the presidential race on the dumb screen. But I want to find out some of the smaller stuff and what people are talking about. I want to do that, in real time. So anyways, that's web apps and mashups. Also, smartphones. The only reason smartphones is on the list is because it makes all of these tools so much easier. Visual interface, you can type easier. You have web apps that work on things like BlackBerry and iPhone, and that has made everything a lot easier.
Yeah.
So The next one is Facebook, which I believe that one had just come out. It was around the time of 2004.
I'll check for you.
Once again, even if it was around, it was just a few college students that had it. And it wasn't a huge influence, if at all, in the 2004 election.
Not that I know of.
Obviously.
February of 2004. So it launched that year.
Yeah, so it probably didn't have as big of a following.
No, it was a baby at the time.
And probably just had a couple Ivy League users at the time, because that's where it started. That was before it got to FSU,
yeah,
where
Zuckerberg
we were.
Mark was at Harvard when he founded it.
Well, there you go. So, and now it has, do you have the amount of users that it currently has? Ton, basically.
Yeah,
a ton.
A zillion.
Here's how Facebook plays a part in this election. First of all, there's the group. You invite someone to a group. There's a lot of cause groups, whether it be for a political candidate or for a political initiative. And you get a bunch of people to join that group, and it shows your power in numbers. Honestly, that's one of the best things that groups are for on Facebook, is to say, see, look, we have a million people that hate Hillary Clinton. I honestly think there are more people that showed how much they hated for Hillary Clinton than showed how much they loved for any of the other candidates,
yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Here's some numbers for you. ComScore reported that Facebook attracted 132.1 million unique visitors in June this year.
Wow.
And compared to MySpace, which attracted 117.6. So that's 20 million more-ish than MySpace did.
And I wonder
June.
How many people are signed up for that. I don't know. I guess that's not on there. But anyways.
No.
So the cool thing about it...
It's going to be hard to track something like that, because Facebook has tons of new people sign up every day and tons of people drop out every day. And so you can sort of take a snapshot for a month like ComScore does, but it's hard to...
It'll get outdated
really give you
quick.
A real total. Yeah.
Wait, actually, there we go. Look at that. Facebook is the most popular social networking site in several English-speaking countries, including Canada, United Kingdom. However, in the United States, it has only 36 million users compared to MySpace.
Okay, so we can track the United States at least.
I don't know how, once again, though, we don't know how updated that is. But when you have a group, you can also have events that are based on that group. I'm in a rock band, as some of you know that might have listened to the first episode when I shamelessly plugged it. It's called Lucid Blue. You can check it out at myspace.com/lucidbluerocks. But what we do with those groups is we have a bunch of people that like our music, and then we send out invitations whenever we have a show or whenever we're releasing a new song, and everybody who is in our group gets those updates. And that way they can say, hey, that's cool. I know what's going on with them. In the same way, this has happened with the election. You can get Facebook groups together and then set up an event to have a rally at such and such a location, or you can tell people to meet for all kinds of uses for it. And you put up your political stuff. There's discussion boards. There's a lot of talk, and it's pretty straightforward. Everybody knows Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, sign up for an account today. The last one that we had on our short list here, and I'm sure we're missing a couple, is the RSS. Feeds,
yeah,
and
especially
which is real simple syndication is what that stands for. And we're talking about aggregators here. Basically, you go to a blog that you really like, and so you go there every day. You type in the address, and you go and you find out which blogs you read. You kind of scroll down, and then you open up another tab, and you open up another blog you like. And then when you're done reading with that, you open up another blog you like and type that in. Well, Google Reader brings everything to you. That's the big difference. That's what RSS has done to us. Readers and RSS feeds, and it used to be that we would go to the internet. We would go and seek out things. Well, once we seek out things that we like, it's now that the internet is coming to us.
Right.
That's what's so cool about it. Once you subscribe to a good 20 blogs that you love, you could easily spend an entire day just reading all the posts. And in my reader, I'm going to bring it up, but I have well over 100 blogs that I'm subscribed to, and I definitely don't read every single post in those blogs because I have a life. But it's really cool because I sign up, I have it in lots of different categories, By the way, Google Reader is our favorite that we use.
Yeah, it's number one on
easy to use and great
on NermalTV.com's list of top 10, which we're not going to read the whole 10 as a top 10 list because we don't have time for that.
So here's
some other populars are Feed Demon, News Crawler, Omia Reader. I've never actually heard of that one. Blog Lines, Blog Navigator, Sharp Reader, NewsGator Online, Blog Bridge, and Feed Lounge are their top 10 RSS aggregators, meaning a program that grabs feeds from all over the place and brings them all into one spot.
Automatically
for you to
read. Updates it all. Yeah. And
but notice Google Reader's number one because it's awesome.
User friendly. Yeah, it's great. It's so easy to read everything and pops it, and you can mark things as read. If you like something, you can star it, you can share it with friends.
And if you don't know where to start, yeah, you just go onto Google Reader. If you already have a Google account or Gmail account, then you can already get in there.
Yeah.
And so you go into Google Reader, and it will suggest subscriptions for you, and it has little packages you can subscribe to. They have like a news package and a tech package.
Yeah.
And
another thing you can do,
different fun things,
if you don't
science,
know what to do, you can go to our blog.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
geocentricpodcast.blogspot.com. And you can also link to that if you forget that.
You can subscribe from there.
From bringthemagic.com/geocentric.
You can actually subscribe to our blog there, and that can be a good way to start. And then Google will suggest things. And the cool thing about RSS feeds, too, is you can keep updated. Let me tell you an interesting way that I combine some of these tools. I actually have an RSS feed for any time that @thePRGuy is tweeted on Twitter. Meaning that anytime someone talks to me on Twitter, I get an update and I can see that without necessarily signing in and doing all this stuff. If I'm busy, then I can actually see that update. So anytime someone's talking to me, it'll pop up. Another thing, if you're into sports, you can get live updates that come to you automatically without pushing refresh, without doing this. Really cool. Politics is what we're talking about today. Another huge one, because anytime your favorite political writer puts up a blog ranting about some party or some candidate, you'll get it really quickly. Now, I've noticed that some blogs, for whatever reason, Google Reader picks them up later than others.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't rely on Google Reader to give me the most up-to-date news. For example, I'm subscribed to the Wall Street Journal's blog. I don't rely on Google Reader to give me the news as it happens.
Yeah,
it
doesn't give you like, oh, Wall Street Journal updated. Oh, now TechCrunch updated. Oh, now Gizmodo updated. Instead, it'll say, like, every so often, Wall Street Journal and New York Times and Fox News and TechCrunch and Engadget all updated.
Except for when you're on a blog, which is cool.
Yeah, so obviously it doesn't do it in real time for every single one, but it sort of gives it to you in groups.
Yeah, which I guess is a more efficient way for them. But if you're on a certain one, reading a certain one, I noticed that, and you probably noticed this before too, that a little yellow highlight will come up.
Yeah.
And it means a new one is there, and you can go check that out. So we actually use Google Reader a lot. We love it because we can share stories that we like, and then talk. We can put notes in there and say, hey, we should use this for the podcast coming up this week. And once again, for the election, it's been huge, because anything that someone says, you can say, you can encourage your listeners, your readers, you can say, hey, subscribe to this, and you can get all the updates you need.
Yeah.
John's laughing because he just saw on my reader something that he responded to me on Twitter about the 3 billionth photo on Flickr, and he responded,
"That's a 3 billionth photo. When was that taken? 1930. Took him long enough to get it on there. It's an old black and white picture of a door."
So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. By the way, Flickr is another big one. There's so many more we can actually talk about. Flickr is a photo sharing site. So again, you know, anything social media is. If you think it's hit its peak,
You're
dead
wrong.
As you hear in the cha-cha slide. If anyone tells you any differently, you tell them they're dead wrong. So that's all we got for today. Do we have anything else that we need to bring into the show?
No, I think that's it, except for our new music that we're going to leave you with this week. Now, here's another curveball.
Dang. All right. Yeah.
Now,
hold on. I never gave you guys the new CDs of the week.
Oh, for this week?
And the thing is, for some reason, I'm thinking that there's a good CD in here that I remember
okay,
seeing.
Okay, then I'm going to let you pull
album.
That up.
Yeah.
While you do that, I'm still going to, because I was already talking about this, I'll tell you what the new music is going to be for this
Let's
week.
Let's do it.
The new song is going to be called, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Di nuovo che lo stupido incubo dove lo sono il pagliaccio e spavento i bambini al circo. That would be Italian for I don't know what.
You know, a lot of our listeners are probably thinking why we're so obsessed with Italian music and Italian things. We just like it.
Yeah.
And I'm actually an eighth Italian. Yes.
I'm not at all. Go figure.
He just loves Italian music.
Well, I like. Well, here's the thing for me.
Italian food. You like Italian food?
Yeah. I have this thing about music in foreign languages because I think it offers a different dimension than you get when you listen to a song in your own language. That
Absolutely.
Being, when you listen to a song like in English, for example, for me because I speak English as a native language, I have to pay it. Well, I don't have to, but my brain automatically attempts to decode the words that are being spoken. And so I have to look for a spoken message, you know? I hear the words. Whereas when I listen to a song in another language, the voice to me is just an instrument that moves musically.
And so you're saying the fact that you don't understand it. I see.
So it has a lot of dimension to it because not only does it move up and down musically, but also it has the voice has a lot that can be done with it as far as little fluctuations in timbre and the way that you pronounce things. There's so many dimensions to the vocal instrument. So when you can't understand the words, if you can appreciate that like me, then it just opens up whole new dimensions to hearing music.
That is cool. And again, if you do understand the foreign language, you realize
then that you're just cool.
Because it's like the language. You realize that in English or in any language, you have your limitations, and they can say certain things that we can't. It's like it's hard to explain.
They
but it's
can,
really
they
cool.
can, for example, rhyme certain concepts together that we would have a much harder time rhyming together as concepts.
Exactly. So I have our new CDs up for the week, and I believe I remember the one that I liked a lot, and that would be one of our favorite, speaking of Italians, one of our favorite artists here on the show has a new CD.
Andrea
and that would be,
Bocelli.
That's right. His new
Incanto.
CD. Incanto.
Incanto.
Check that CD out. Okay? The Twilight
awesome.
Soundtrack
in case you're,
is out.
In case you're wondering when we played the Bocelli, that was, when was that, episode 17?
Maybe 14 or 15. I don't know. Somewhere around there. But it was the actually might have been 17 because it was the episode after our RIA rant.
Yeah.
No, maybe it was two more because it was when the bill
was
passed.
When, yeah, it was when President Bush signed the bill to make a cabinet level intellectual property rights.
We played
officer.
That song to tell you guys do not despair because we will fight back.
And one day you can say Conte Partiro to
Conte
the Partiro. Anyways, read that
Tsunami
off.
Tsunami
per Io lo so.
Alright. Sarah Brightman has a winter symphony. Some more Christmas music. Honestly, I don't like seeing this stuff until at least around Thanksgiving time, if not after Thanksgiving. It's just like
I would
a little
prefer
too
to
early.
Separate my holidays personally.
Yeah, like yesterday was seems like it was Halloween.
Because you've also got Jeff Dunham. But he's that guy's hilarious. If you've ever seen Jeff Dunham, he's a ventriloquist, which sounds kind of lame
sounds
at first.
Sketchy.
But he's hilarious. But he's got a CD called "Don't Come Home for Christmas."
Also, I was on the tabs. Okay, another Christmas CD is "What a Night," a Christmas album, which is Harry Connick Jr. for all you fans of that kind
of
stuff, which is good stuff. I'm a fan of a lot of that. I like Michael Bublé. He's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Brad Paisley's new CD is "Play."
Okay. Yeah.
Hinder's new CD is "Take It to the Limit." How about
we should do another impromptu that style of music song. Do you want to? All right.
Take me to the place where you told me some. I will tell you how.
That's our.
I'm not
our
a huge Hinder fan.
That style of music.
The name, I mean, the name is Hinder. I mean, I hate to be a band stereotyper, but you know exactly what a band called Hinder is going to sound like. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
No, I have been wrong in the past, but I happen to know Hinder, of course. But
personally? No, of course not. Moving on.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Let's invite him on the show. Pastor Ezekiel Walker, new CD.
Hezekiah.
My bad.
That's all right.
Sold out, but not in the worldly term of S-O-L-D, but S-O-U-L-D, like soul music. Sold out. That's kind of a cool title for that CD. I like that. It's one of those fake CDs.
Duran Duran.
Look at it, though. It says Classic Albums Rio by Duran. I don't know. That looks like one of those fake CDs that like some company puts together some random group of Duran Duran songs and calls it a new album. Randy Owen CD is One-on-One. Ryan Adams CD is... Wait, we already talked about Cardinology. I know we did. What is with this? I'm going to get a new source. Q-Tip's new CD is The Renaissance. The Renaissance. Shiny Toy Guns' new CD is Season of Poison. By the way, since we didn't already do this, now that we're in the middle of this, can we cue some music?
It's already being cued.
Oh, sweet.
In case you didn't hear it, it's been playing along.
Well, that's what happens when I don't wear headphones, I guess. Check this out. The Complete Masterworks 2 is Tenacious D.
That's,
I swear we talked
fun
about that one too, but maybe not. Ogre. O-H-G-R. Ogre. Is the band.
Devils in My Details
is the CD.
Hey, the Blue Man Group's got a new album out. Blue Man Group, How to Be a Megastar Live. It's a Blu-ray, actually.
How about the, that's not music.
Fraggle Rock, the complete series collection?
That's a DVD. We're talking about new music.
Yeah, but it's Fraggle Rock.
Oh, fine.
We don't have to say anything else about
complete
it.
Complete series collection by Fraggle Rock.
It's $89.99. Look at
somehow
that.
Somehow I got 1.5 stars on Amazon. Maybe the price tag? I don't know. But apparently, I guess.
Can't you cares away.
I mean, why would you give it low stars? If you don't like Fraggle Rock, then why would you use one?
Down to Fraggle Rock.
I don't know.
Remember when Alistair used to
tell me
that, and then
we went to their show.
Corporation.
Yeah.
We went to their show, and I was like, play Fraggle Rock!
Yeah, we were actually at the show. Yeah.
The Jim Henson Corporation told us if we ever play that song again, they're going to sue us, so we can't play it anymore.
Jim Henson wasn't even there.
Well, the guy's been dead for forever.
Check this out. This is a cool one. Travis has a new CD called Ode to J. Smith. That's a cool one to check out. I like Travis. Let's see what we got. I really do. We're looking at the CD after
He's
that.
A good guy.
Okay. Right. I don't really know.
Too many ums.
Jason Becker's new CD is Collection. I wonder if that's a collection.
Oh, no way. Cat Stevens.
Yep.
It's a T for the Tillerman.
The Four Tops.
I'm being followed
by Moon Shadow. Gamma Ray live in
Cat
Montreal.
Stevens. Oh, man, that guy.
Live from Texas. ZZ Top. Yeah. Check that one out. Oh, man, look at this one. Axel Rudy Pell. It's kind of a funny name.
No
look.
Way. Another Cat Stevens? Teaser and the Fire Cat?
It's probably like re-released.
Yeah, these
are
deluxe editions, but still,
we need
man.
A new source. Still, Amazon isn't a good source.
Fraggle Rock, Cat Stevens. Andrea Bocelli?
This CD has like a skeleton in fire and all this stuff. It looks like your typical metal album. And the first part of the name is Axel. And the second part of the name is Rudy. And the third part of the name is Pull.
So that would be Axel Rudy Pull.
Axel Rudy Pell. That's a great band name, guys. Maybe it's a guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hating on a guy's name. CD is Tales of the Crown. Speaking of which, check out the new AC/DC CD that we talked about. It's pretty cool. It sounds exactly like everything else they've ever done, which I think in their case is a good thing. They didn't pull Metallica and like completely suck it up every CD after that, or Green Day for that matter. That, of course, some people differ. See, because some people are like, wait a minute. Some people are like, wait a minute. Green Day is now really good. I like their music. To which I say, you're 80. Exactly.
Well, okay. Now, I thought American Idiot was pretty good. Granted, Warning before that.
That was the worst.
It was awful. they abandoned their punk sound on Warning. Ridiculous. But so Green Day, they had a rocky history. But I thought American Idiot was pretty good. Even if you don't like their political undertones, It was more.
I don't even
listen.
I don't even really care about lyrics one way or another. To be honest, I don't really listen to lyrics that much.
I'm not talking about lyrics.
But
I mean, that would be, of course, where the political.
You're talking about political undertones of music.
No. I said regardless, even if you don't like their political undertones.
Yeah. Okay.
It was still quality music of the Green Day style.
I see. It was better than Warning. Yeah. I guess I was never a huge fan of Green Day, but there was a time when I was a fan. There was a time. Like the good old days of
Nimrod.
Yeah, Nimrod. I was a big fan.
Yeah,
I was a big. I think that's when. Yeah, that's when a lot of people were big
Another
fans.
Turning point, a fork stuck in
well, actually,
the
I was thinking more. What are
that's,
some other
that's
songs
from
on that?
Nimrod.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking more of like. What about? Do you have the time?
Oh, that's from Dookie. Dookie is
Dookie's
their
another
huge
good one.
Yeah.
To listen to me.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Those two are the big ones, I guess. And I was in Doom.
But since Green Day doesn't even have a CD coming out,
we're just gonna go ahead and end. That's all the new CDs right there.
Yeah.
So
and that's also.
I hope you guys
show.
Enjoy it. So again, Andrea Bocelli, check out that CD. Check out the Travis CD. I don't remember the other big ones that we talked about. But check them out and let us know what you think. And that about wraps it up for the show.
That's right. So make sure you go to myspace.com/melodyfall to listen to the Italian band for some reason called Melody Fall. Play their song Di Nuovo, Che lo Stupido, Incubo Dove, Lo Sono, Il Pagliaccio, E Spavento, I Bambini, Al Circo. And
wow. Singing.
No, I'm not even going to try because I was so lucky not to screw that up that time. But instead, thanks once again for listening to Geocentric, the hostile takeover of awkward silence. Remember 206-337-1504. If you want to participate in our blog, give us a shout out.
Follow us on Twitter as well.
And that's all I have. Nate, would you like to send us off?
Sure thing. We'll catch you guys later.
False teatralità, senza un destino, un'identità. La notte si apre il sipario, comincia lo show. Giochi di specchi vi regalerò, bramo la tua bontà. Io vendo angoscia a chi le vorrà. Carica e spara al pagliaccio, uccidi di più. Ehi ragazzino, il bersaglio sei tu. Cora il trucco, gira il tuo sorriso. Dei fantasmi che portano maschere, piano ti prenderò. Speranza ad ogni respiro a sé. Piano ti prenderò.
Piano ti prenderò.
La festa è iniziata, lo so. La notte grida, ti mostrerò presente in ogni parte.
Come ballerai in inferno vedrai.
Ad ogni vagante che parlerà male di me, farò oscurare il giorno. Non sembrerà uno scherzo.
Cora il trucco, gira il tuo sorriso.
Dei fantasmi. Sei un fantasma che porta una maschera, piano ti sveglierò.